Welcome to the first sermon in our sermon series entitled Playlist. This sermon series teaches how songs can help us connect to the reality of God and inspire us to live the Christian life. Today's sermon title, Songs of Comfort. Open your Bible to Psalm 118, verses 14 through 16, and let's begin.
The reason I'm asking you to memorize it is so that when you need it, you have it in your mind, and you can think about it. Because 6 weeks from now, you're not going to be carrying this sheet of paper, and if you do, it's going to be so wrinkled and crumpled, you won't be able to read it. But if you memorize it, you'll have it in your mind so that when you need it, you can think about it. And if you don't memorize this, I'm telling your Heavenly Father that you're not doing your homework and that you need to be grounded. All right, not only that, but let me tell you the benefits you get from memorizing something. When you memorize something, you are consciously teaching your brain to remember. And that can't be a bad thing, can it? Your brain likes challenges. And when you memorize something, you're actually doing what your brain is designed to do. You're using your brain the way it was designed. There's a thing called neuroplasticity, and that is when you memorize things, you build stronger networks in your brain. Memorization is like a workout. If you want to be a healthy person, you got to do some workouts. If you want to have a healthy brain, you have to work it, and one of the ways you work your brain out is memorizing something. When you memorize something, it frees your brain up to think about other things. It actually expands the way you think. When you memorize something, you increase your focus. You teach yourself to focus more diligently. When you memorize something, it makes it easier for you to learn other things. Memorizing something stimulates your creativity. And for people who are my age, it causes you to postpone cognitive decline. Okay, so where's the downside on memorizing something? It is good for your soul and it's good for your brain. And we all need both. Amen? All right. So let's talk about this verse and why I want you to memorize it. If you read the book of 1 Samuel, you'll find a story that King Saul had moments of manic depression. I mean, he got so depressed, he was borderline non-functional. And his depression made him angry. It made him so angry, no one could stand to be around him. He threw things at people, sharp things. And so David was hired when Saul was in one of his moments of darkness to play his harp and sing because it comforted Saul. Now, we don't know what songs he sang to him, but I'm going to assume that some of those songs are in the Psalms. They're the songs that David wrote. And the verse I'm asking you to memorize is Psalm 118, verses 14 through 16, because it is a comfort psalm. Life has a way of raising our insecurity, raising our anxiety, raising our stress. And this psalm is a verse that we can use to comfort ourselves in times of difficulty. The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Now let's study these verses together and find out how they can comfort us. First of all, let's define comfort. Comfort is not sympathy. I know in our modern culture, you think of comfort as sympathy. The word comfort actually comes from the Latin com fortis, and it means to strengthen greatly. Do you recognize the word fortis, fortitude? To increase your fortitude, to give you a courage about life that you don't have because you feel insecure, or you feel anxious, or you're stressed, or you have a great deal of internal discomfort. So then comfort is not someone patting your hand and saying you'll be all right. Our souls need more than that. We need strengthened. I need courage to face whatever's making me insecure. I need courage to overcome whatever's stressing me. I need fortitude to confront the challenges that life is giving me. So when I talk about comfort, I'm talking about an increasing internal strength to deal with the things that cause my discomfort. And the very first statement is, the Lord is my strength. The fortitude I need, the courage I need, the strength I need, God is that strength, and He'll share it with me. The problem is, over a lifetime, we develop self-comforting behaviors that make us weaker, not stronger. You get it? We develop life behaviors that are our own devices to comfort our internal anxiety, to comfort our internal stress, to comfort our internal worry that this challenge is too much for us. And many of these self-comforting devices are self-destructive. Church, please don't be unhappy with me. Maybe you don't need another pill. Maybe you need some internal strength. Is it possible? Is it possible that one more pill isn't what you need? What you really need is for your soul to draw a strength that you don't have. Because if you had that strength, your anxiety, your stress, your worry would go down. Church? Is it possible that what you need is not one more drink? It's an internal courage, an internal strength that God is willing to share with you. Is it possible that what you need is not one more zoning out, but a real zoning in on your true self so it can be strengthened by God? Church. So comfort is not me sedating my anxiety and my stress and my insecurity. Comfort is just the opposite. It is me growing strong so that in my inner soul, I'm stronger than my anxiety. I'm stronger than my insecurity. I'm stronger than my fears. I'm stronger than the challenges that I have to confront. Comfort is emotional security. Comfort is physical security. Comfort is a sense of safety in a chaotic world. And all of these things require mental discipline and prompt action. When I begin to feel insecure, I turn to this verse and say, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs are in the tent of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly." And what I'm doing is I'm self-affirming in a way that strengthens me for life. In a chaotic world, I draw strength from God. The second thing this verse says is, the Lord has become my salvation. I've read many studies, and one of the primary fears of human beings is death. Death frightens human beings. There's all kinds of reasons why it frightens us. But when David wrote, the Lord has become my salvation, he was giving us strength, courage, fortitude in the face of death. Now, because of my job for 40 years, I've watched a lot of people die. And generally, people fall into two categories. Some people are not ready to die, and they die overwhelmed with anxiety and fear. Some people are ready to die, and they say, let's get it on. They're ready. They're ready for the next phase of their life. How is it that people fall into such separate groups? I can face the distress and the anxiety and the unknown of death if I have drawn the strength that Christ is my salvation. Do you see? When I have a sense that everything I've ever done wrong, Christ has forgiven me, so that when I die, I'm acceptable to God, it doesn't seem so frightening. When I really, really believe that Christ has become my salvation, and that when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do you get that? The people who are convinced that Christ is their Savior, they don't walk through the valley of the shadow of death alone. Christ walks with them. He shepherds them through the valley of the shadow of death, and it's not frightening. Church, I believe you could have courage in the face of death if you would have a moment in your life where you simply say to Christ, I accept your work and your forgiveness of my sins. I accept you as my salvation. Please walk me through the valley of the shadow of death when the time is right. I believe you could have a courage you haven't had. He doesn't just save my eternal soul. He saves me from my worst self. We all have this worst self in us. Do you know him? Do you know her? Our worst self is ugly. Our worst self says ugly things to us. My worst self calls me an idiot all the time. Anybody? Well, maybe your worst self is a little nicer to you then. My worst self calls me things I can't say at church. But I have an answer for my worst self now. When my worst self is insulting to me, I say, maybe that's true. But it's not the whole truth. The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord has become my salvation. Glad songs will be shouted in the tent of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord is better than you, you rotten, ugly self. Do you hear this? If I will memorize this verse, I have an answer to the criticism of my worst self. I can say what you're saying may be true, but it's not the whole truth. God loves me. He cares for me. He is my salvation. He is at work in me. And it strengthens us and gives us fortitude. I want to say this. The Christian family is under attack in America. You can call that whatever you want. It's just a flat, it's a fact. The Christian family is under attack in America. The values that Christ teaches us about loving our spouses is under attack by all kinds of things. About being good parents is under attack by all kinds of things. Our kids are under attack in the culture and with dangerous things like drugs and violence. But listen to this. God loves my family more than I do. And I love them with a ridiculous love. And when I'm worried, I say, you have become my salvation. And I pray that you would be the salvation of my family, the people who are so precious to me. Church, couldn't that strengthen you when you're afraid? Well, I thought it was bad to be afraid for my kids. Now I'm terrified for my grandkids. Grandparents, huh? Church, I can work with God and receive His strength, and I can be part of His work strengthening my family. I don't have to stress, I can strengthen. I don't have to worry, I can work. And I can do it all with the sense that God is at work in me and working through me for this good purpose. The Lord has become my salvation. In a chaotic world, I can find comfort. That means strength and courage because the Lord is my strength. Because the Lord is my salvation. In a chaotic world, I can find comfort because the Lord provides the comfort of shouts of gladness in my life. This is interesting. It's an odd-sounding phrase, but there's a great psychology behind it. The Lord is more than an escape from my anxiety. There's something positive. All right. I know that this good church watched the Ohio State football game last night. I got to watch the second half. I was predisposed for the first half. But I saw the best part anyway, didn't I? In the game last night, what determined who was shouting with gladness? When Penn State was winning, all those white shirts, they were on their feet shouting with gladness. And the few red shirts I saw in the stadium, they were pretty quiet. But when Ohio State came back, all those white shirts were sitting down. Some of them had their hands over their faces. And the red shirts, they were up and shouting. This shout of gladness, this shout of joy, is a poetic way of saying the rush of excitement you have when you feel like you're winning. All right, now I want to put that into the verse. The rush of excitement you have that causes you to cheer or shout for joy is consistently in the tent of the people who are getting it right. Do you see? This thing of Christ strengthening me, it's more than a negative thing. It's also a positive thing. When Christ strengthens me, I get it right more and more in my life. I'm getting it right. I'm treating my family right. I'm getting it right. I'm treating my friends right. I'm getting it right. I treat my coworkers right. I'm getting life right. And the more I get life right, the more I have this inner sense of I'm winning. And it's normal for people who have the feeling of winning to shout for joy. Now, let me explain the psychology of this. It turns out that your emotions follow physical acts. If you are in a bad emotional state, if you do something physically different, it will help you feel different. Do you see? This is a proven fact. If you're really discouraged, get up and walk around the block. It has a way of resetting your inner self. Okay, if you don't want to walk around the block, you don't even have to. It turns out, if you'll stand up and say something encouraging in a voice louder than you normally speak, it has a way of resetting your soul. Now, I know some of you are already going, oh, Doc, I'm not doing that. But let me tell you. So it would be something like this. You're feeling anxiety. You're feeling isolated. You're feeling like nobody cares. All right. You stand up. You go into another room. Maybe go into the bathroom, turn on the fan. And you say in a voice louder than normal, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my victory. The winner's shout is in the tent of the righteous. The Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. All right, what I'm telling you is there is a psychology behind this. Because when you speak to that yourself that way, your emotions will follow along. Now, on the other hand, if you keep speaking ugly and fear to yourself, your emotions will follow along with that. I'm afraid. This isn't going to work out. No one cares. I'm in this all alone. That causes you to shrink inwardly. The shouting gladly strengthens us. Do you get that? When David said, shouting gladly in the original, but we can't relate too well with that. I think I've shared this before. Can you see David out in the wilderness with his soldiers? And there's 25 bonfires going, and it's evening. And David stands up and says, I don't like the spirit in the camp. Everybody gather around. And hundreds of rough soldiers gather around. And David leads them in a loud chant. It may have gone something like this. David started and said, the Lord is my strength and my song. And all of his men rhythmically chanted back to him, the Lord is my strength and my song. And David shouted, he has become my salvation. And all his men shouted back at him. So what David is talking about here is more than just poetry. It's probably something he practiced himself and experienced the encouragement that came from it. Now, before you say that's stupid and I'm not doing, would you give it a try? Would you give it a try? You've tried stranger things. In a chaotic world, I can feel insecure. I can feel stressed. I can feel anxiety. I can have a high sense of discomfort. Because I'm a Christian, God is at work in my life, and I can respond to these internal feelings by saying, the Lord is my strength, and counting on him to give me courage and strength. I can say, in the face of fear of death, fear of life, the Lord is my salvation. I can say, I'm not just breaking even. God is so good in my life. He's helping me to get it right, and I have the exuberance of winning, and I find myself shouting gladly the way people who feel like their team is winning shout. And then there's one more comfort. David says, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly, the right hand of the Lord exalts, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I want to look at this word valiantly. It's the Hebrew word chayil. And it literally means force. And it comes to mean poetically or metaphorically force used valiantly. I know we don't use the word valiant much anymore, but it's another word for courage or courageous. The right hand of the Lord acts forcefully with courage. This is a visual picture. I mean, this is a word picture. You have to visualize it in your mind. Can you envision the Lord as acting forcefully for a good thing in the world? Because that's what David was doing. David was envisioning God as a mighty warrior with great courage, exerting force for a good thing. Can you envision God that way? Or are you still stuck on the little flannel graph Jesus? That little Jesus that they put on the flannel graph board when I was in Sunday school, who didn't look very courageous and didn't look very forceful. Church? Do you believe God is dangerous for good? Or do you believe he's rather passive, kind of checked out, maybe a little too soft? Huh? I don't find any courage in an inept, weak Jesus. But that's not how the New Testament portrays him. It never portrays him that way. He is a force to be reckoned with. Everywhere Jesus showed up in the Gospels, he was a force to be reckoned with. When hunger traumatized people, he was a force to be reckoned with, and he fed them, every single one. When sickness overwhelmed people, he was a force to be reckoned with, and he healed them. When insanity drove them to rave and lose all of their dignity, he was a force to be reckoned with, and he cast out evil. When Pharisees humiliated a woman and threw her down in public and denounced her for her sin, he was a force to be reckoned with. And he said, anybody here who is without sin, you throw the first stone. He was a force to be reckoned with when Pilate quizzed him. He was a force to be reckoned with when he died on the cross and the day turned to night. And earthquakes ripped their way through Jerusalem. He was a force to be reckoned with 3 days later when the stone was rolled away and he stood up alive and lives forevermore. And he is a force to be reckoned with today. The right hand of the Lord is a mighty force. I don't fear the ineptness of Washington, because the Lord my God is a force to be reckoned with. I don't fear the insanity of terrorists because the Lord my God is a force to be reckoned with. I don't fear the drug dealers who are trying to ruin another generation of children because the Lord our God is a force to be reckoned with. I will not be afraid because the Lord my God, his right hand does valiantly. He is a force to be reckoned with. The second statement says, the right hand of the Lord exalts. The Hebrew actually says, the Lord exalts his right hand. Have you seen sports players after they make a touchdown or hit a home run, they do this? Huh? No? They didn't invent that. That goes all the way back to David. Great people doing awesome stuff and raising their right hand. I have a clear imagination of the Lord my God acting in a wonderful way in my life and in the life of people around me, and then standing up in heaven and going, yes! Church, I draw courage from that. That comforts me. That strengthens me. Jesus dozing on the throne gives me no strength or courage. Church. But David said, that's not the way it is. Re-envision God. It's a necessary part of you being fortified to live a good life. All right, you got your card. Now I want to tell you how to use this. When you are frightened, when something frightens you, you get a letter from the IRS. Before you even open it, you look at your little card. And if you haven't memorized it, then you just read it. And you read it a little louder, in a little louder voice than you normally speak in. Would you do that for me? If you normally have a soft voice, you don't have to talk as loud. But if you have a loud voice like me, you probably have to go in the basement and shut the door. All right. In a little bit louder voice than you normally speak, when you are frightened, you say to yourself, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad shouts of joy are in his the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exerts force for good. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. He's a winner. The right hand of the Lord is full of courage, and he gives me the courage to face this thing I'm frightened of. Do you see? Now you are not a victim of this. Now you are exerting fortitude and courage. You're facing life nobly. When you're confused and you're just not sure, you're not sure what the next right thing is, you say, this confusion will not control me because the Lord is my strength and my song. You speak back to the confusion, and this verse will give you fortitude. When you're traumatized, it's a traumatic moment. You didn't expect it. It's not what you wanted. You speak back to the trauma, and you say, I cannot be defeated by this trauma because the Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my salvation over this trauma. He will win, and I will shout a glad shout in the tent of the righteous. This trauma may be threatening, but the right hand of the Lord is forceful. I speak back to the trauma when I'm insecure and I doubt if I'm good enough and people haven't done what I expected them to do and I wonder if it's ever going to turn out right. I speak back to the insecurity and I say, I don't have to strengthen myself. The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord is my salvation in this insecurity. He's going to help me win, and I'm going to shout the glad shout of the righteous. The Lord is forceful, and his force is at work to overcome my insecurity. Church, when you face challenges that seem overwhelming, the challenge feels like too much for you, you're in over your head, you feel a bit overwhelmed, you speak back to that weakness, and you say, even this, if this challenge is bigger than any challenge I've ever faced before, I'm not facing it alone. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He will win, and I will shout the winner's shout. The Lord's right hand is forceful. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do not be afraid, my little children. I have overcome the world. That's what our forceful Christ says. When I take my focus off my fear, my confusion, my trauma, my insecurity, and my challenges, and I focus on the Lord God Almighty, I am strengthened. I have fortitude. I face all of these things differently because I face them with this incredible confidence that God makes me more than I am by myself. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be willing to learn this verse. And I pray that when we need it, we would quote it to ourselves. And as we quote it to ourselves, we might have a courage to face life greater than any courage we've ever had. I pray that we would face all these fears and anxieties and insecurities and traumas and challenges in a different way. I pray that we would face them from a perspective of courage, inner strength. I pray that we could draw that from you. Then, Father, I pray that we'd have different outcomes in life because we are approaching life differently. And may you be glorified.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.